This morning, and please open them to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. We're going to start in our text here, and we'll end with the message today in this same text, but we're going to be around a little bit, you know, as we go through the scripture, searching out this message that God has for us today. When a child was doing something that is wrong, a parent will normally say, "You're in trouble." When a dog chews a pillow or rips a hole in the couch, the owner will say, "You're in trouble." Then again, we could look at this word in another light. Many times when fearful thoughts invade or disturbing dreams will arise, it does something to that person. This morning, I would like to look into this matter, not necessarily regarding a pet or someone's fur baby, or even your own children, but we need to look at this for ourselves from the Bible in a message that's titled, Troubled Ones. Troubled Ones. Look with me, please, at verse number 1 of John 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Dear Lord, I thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach your word. Lord, I pray you'll give me the words that are necessary for all to be able to be fed, Lord, that which we stand in need of today. God, may your spirit move and convict. Lord, may you speak to us. God, I thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Troubled ones, yes. A lot of times as a child I was told, "You're in trouble." Maybe you were one of those kids as well back in the day. You're in trouble. Maybe even in your adult years, you do something to upset your spouse, right, Brother Petrie? And your wife will say to you, "You're in trouble." I think I've even seen it happen here before. You're in trouble. There's a lot of things that go on in life, you know, where it seems like we can be troubled. Well, the other night I was tossing to and fro, just laying there in bed, and I could not get a wink of sleep. it was just not there. I mean, it was just one of those troubling nights. And I got up in the morning, and I just, "Lord, there's something with this troubled spirit. What is it, Lord, that I need to know today?" And so when I opened up my word for the day, this was the verse that came to me. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And so as we look at the passage before us today and expound upon this theme of troubled ones, I'd like to first start by saying the greatest disturbance a troubled soul can face is not the fires of this earth, but the troubling voice of Jesus as he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In John 14, verse 1, we have our first thing that we'd like to look at today in three different areas of trouble. You know, you're in trouble in many different ways or many different shapes or forms. And so I'd like to look, first of all, today at troubled hearts. Troubled hearts. The thought of dying to many is a troubling matter. They have a lot of confusion about it, a lot of distorted views about it, a lot of fear and what's on the other side of this life. A lot of people struggle with this. Jesus assures us through this text that heaven is the home for the believer. Heaven is the home for the believer. You know, I wish it was easy and everybody that lived could just go to heaven without, you know, having to do anything about it. We all could just go to heaven. That would be great. And there's a lot of preachers out there that will preach a message just like that. But I'm not that type of preacher. I'm the one who's going to tell you that there is a heaven and there's also a hell. Hell was not created for humanity. It was never intended for the souls of mankind. But because of sin, that became a dwelling place for those rejectors of Jesus Christ. It became a place of, it was created to be a place of torment for those who had left their first abode, those angels in heaven that said, "God, we're going to rise up with Lucifer against you." And so God had created this place called hell for those fallen angels. a place of torment and judgment for them for eternity. But could you imagine a place of that was created for fallen angels to become a place as well for the souls of humanity? To many, that's a very troubling thought. There will be those laying in their beds, tossing to and fro, not knowing if they're going to make it to the next day, and they're scared to death because they don't know about the other side. Our abode with Jesus, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is not a temporary dwelling place. But with Jesus, we find that our abode is one that is eternal. And so if you have a troubled heart today, you can at least rest in this assurance that heaven is my home if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's going to be a permanent dwelling with Him. You know, just as you have Christ as your Lord and Savior today and He's living within inside of you, it's a permanent thing. It's something that does not go away. You're going to be able to one day see who it is that's been speaking to you through your heart and through the Word for so many years. You're going to finally get to see Him face to face. Ah, what a day that's going to be. No more troubled hearts. This world, my friend, it is just a temporary dwelling. It's just temporary. As Brother LeCompte was talking this morning about this earth and all of the things that people hoard up in it and 401ks and houses and all these other crazy things, you know, it's not necessarily about all those things. No, it's not about those things at all. It's about the souls of mankind. So many people are wasting their lives. So many people are wasting time. So many people are just wasting away when they could be rising up in newness of life. Since this world is just a temporary dwelling place, the Apostle Paul, he likewise called us who are children of the Lord, he called us aliens in this world. We are foreigners to this place. This is not something that we should not get comfortable here. But I like to be comfortable. Amen. Some of you love to be comfortable. You know, we got to make sure that we have air conditioning in the house. We got to make sure we have heating, you know, for the cold months as well. And you've got to have all of this extra. You followed Dave Ramsey's money management process, you know, and so you've got all that emergency fund saved up. You've got all of this saved up in your IRA or for, so you're comfortable when it comes to finances, right? You have a great car. You have all of these wonderful things. You have children that actually listen and obey. I mean, you've gotten pretty comfortable with this world. So many of us have become so comfortable with this world that our hearts should be troubled because we are not reaching the souls of men. The heart is a troubled place many times. The heart is a place where many challenges take light. Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." He wants you to open your heart to Him. He wants to take care of that trouble that has been brewing within. Whether it's for a season or whether it's been for a lifetime. Jesus wants to heal your troubled heart. Warren Wiersbe said this, "A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God wants to test your faith." Some of us say, well, you know, I've got a troubled heart because of all of these horrible things that I have going on in my life. Some people may say, well, I have a troubled heart because I know that God is calling me to this mission field, or God's calling me to this path of life, and I'm troubled inside. I don't know how that's going to come to light. I don't know how that's going to be accomplished. Man, I'm so thankful that so many years ago, when you look at the mission of Adoniram Judson, that it was Baptist that said, "We will pick up the tab. We will support you on your mission field." We have so many that are out on the mission field today, and they some of them have troubled hearts today. You know, how am I going to make it through this month? I've lost some financial support. I've lost some people that I had been discipling and working with. I've lost the place where, you know, we come to worship on Sundays. We've lost so much. There's a lot of missionaries that are troubled today. But my friend, sometimes the troubling of a heart is a stirring of the Lord upon your soul. He wants to stir you a little bit so that you are uncomfortable, so that you do trust in Him. The problem isn't that we have a troubled heart. The problem is that many times we can create our own mess in which will lead to a troubled heart. I've made messes before in my life. I know you may come over to my house and you will notice that I am rather OCD about my place of living, okay? But when it comes to my life, there's times where I've made a mess of things. I made one bad decision, followed it up with another bad decision, and then mounted it up with another bad decision. And those were my own decisions. I didn't ask God to help me in those things. I didn't ask for His direction. And that troubling just kept on mounting and brewing and getting higher and getting higher. And before you know it, I can't even see the sun anymore because there's so much trouble that I've created in my own life. You ever been there? Some of us have. You know, the disciples that Jesus taught, the disciples that He worked with as well, they had a lot of things going on in their heart, and a lot of them were troubled about the things that were coming and the things that were going to be done. And Jesus wants to encourage them. He wants to comfort them by saying, "You believe in God, believe also in Me." Jesus does not want our hearts to be troubled with the things of this world. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to have faith in Him. He wants us to follow Him. And He wants us to allow Him to direct our path. Jesus says, "I want it to be all about Me." That's what Jesus wants in your life. Make Jesus everything in your life. So we see you're in trouble with a troubled heart. The next thing I'd like to look at today is troubled thoughts. Troubled thoughts. Matthew, Mark, Luke 24 is where we're going to be. In Luke chapter 24 and verse number 38, we find the next section here of trouble. You're in trouble. Luke 24 verse 38, Jesus is the one who's going to be speaking here. And He said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" There's a lot of things that was about to happen. Jesus was about to ascend back up into glory. And the disciples are, they're troubled. Their thoughts are all over the spectrum. They can't be settled in their thoughts. You ever had one of those moments where your thoughts are just everywhere? It's like you just cannot concentrate on one thing. Your thoughts just keep going everywhere. Yes, you would have been diagnosed. You would have definitely been diagnosed as ADHD or something like that, because you just can't keep your attention where it needs to be. Wow. Troubled thoughts. You ever heard the saying that your mind is playing tricks on you? Yep, that's one of those things. You know, in relation to the text here with Luke 24, Jesus was not playing tricks on His disciples. Jesus never played tricks on His disciples that we see in the Gospels here. Okay, now, He might have had some fun with them from time to time. I mean, I think it may have been a little bit of a, you know, like a, I know it was a test of faith, you know, but it wasn't necessarily a trick either when He told Peter to go down to that fish and take the coin out of his mouth and go pay your taxes. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff there. But I've never had any fish. I've never caught a fish that had money in its mouth. I'm still waiting for that day. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of things that we find with the life of Christ and His ministry as well, where Jesus was never troubled really in his thoughts. I mean, He had some times where He was tested and He would go to the Father and say, "Not my will, but Your will be done. You know, Lord, if it's possible, Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me." So Jesus had some moments, you know, there where His thoughts were being tested as well. Troubled thoughts. Whenever you have a problem in life, many times we will think about things that are good. Or we'll think about memories of the past that brought, you know, insightful moments to your life. Or we'll look at our Facebook memories, you know, and ooh and ah over those pictures and events that come back up on your memory page. Have you ever thought, though, about this? Jesus, The disciples, they were meeting. Jesus had already been put to death. He had already, we know that he had already risen from the dead. You have the disciples as well that Jesus is talking to on the road to Emmaus. And so we have all of these things that are occurring at this time. And Jesus, he kind of just says, "Hello, it's me." You know, he kind of appears to them. And that's where we're looking here, Luke 24. And man, they were pretty distraught there. They were quite upset. They were actually scared to death. And Jesus was right there in front of them. It's like peekaboo. Jesus was in the midst. Sometimes many of us, we come to church expecting the Lord to work. We come to church expecting to find answers in the Word. We come expecting all of these wonderful things. And sometimes we leave wondering, were my expectations met? Understand this, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Jesus is in the midst today. He is right here today, and he wants to help you with your troubled heart, but he also wants to help you with your troubled thoughts. My friend, too often we choose to forget that Jesus is in the midst. We do. You might have a stressful moment. You may think that you're all alone and no one else is there. Your thoughts are being tested, your thoughts are all out of whack, but Jesus is there the whole time. He's right there. When your car breaks down, Jesus is there. When a Muslim comes banging on your car in the dark and asking you for money, Jesus is still there. Doesn't matter where you are in life, if you're a child of God, Jesus is in the midst because he's right there in your heart. Do not allow yourself to fall prey due to your troubled thoughts. We'll listen to other people's thoughts. You ever heard someone just, you know, spill everything that's going on in their mind to you? You know, all these things that they're, you know, faced with and all of their challenges and how, you know, it all started, you know, so many years ago when they were a child. You've watched Judge Judy before, right? Okay. So, you know, we've all had, you know, seen some people, you know, with some troubled thoughts and they just lay it all out there And you're just kind of like, okay. A lot of times we become victim of their troubled thoughts because we take their thoughts and make them our thoughts too. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Stick to the mission. Stick to the vision that God has for you. Stick to that great commission. Don't allow those thoughts of this world to lead you in another direction. When we allow the wicked ones to trouble our thoughts, we do fall into a trap. It seduces the mind. It captures the heart. It leaves the believer feeling defeated, neglected, alone. So many times we will listen to their problems. And we don't need to listen to their problems because we have enough problems of our own. Oh, Jesus wants us to cast our burdens upon Him. Sometimes we cast everyone else's burdens before Him, and we forget that we have burdens that need to be taken care of too. I was always taught that you can never help somebody until you've first taken care of yourself. Proverbs 25:26 says, "A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring." So have the right mind, the mind of Christ. And my friend, your thoughts will be a lot better. Your outlook, your perception of eternity in mind, it's going to be a lot better. No matter what your job may throw at you, no matter what direction your doctors may throw you in, no matter what is going on with this vessel that we call our flesh, know this, my friend, keep your mind on Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Because I'm telling you, He is fixed on you. Troubled ones, you're in trouble. Man, I used to get in so much trouble. I really did. I never knew my dad could run so fast. We had a My dad, I mean, it was tough when we were growing up. There was a lot of kids. You know, I have a ton of sisters. And so anything that is bought that is new is a big deal for the family. And mom and dad were finally able to purchase their first swing set for us. You know, had a nice, aluminum slide. Not this kind of slide, where you're sizzling, like bacon the whole way going down, back in the 70s or 80s. No, I'm talking, it was a nice slide. You didn't worry about burning yourself. Praise the Lord. Had a nice, what was it? The monkey bars, you could crawl across those things. Some of us, we were stupid and tried walking across the top of them. But, we had that. We had two swings as well. And if you were swinging, one way and your sister swinging the other way, you could actually, twist yourself a little bit and come back down and smack her right in the face with your foot. I'm sorry. Getting off base here. But, that swing set was just my dad was happy that he was able to, put all, footers in, get all that together and build that for us. And he is standing there looking at that thing, and it's looking nice. First day, no joke, first day. What did a dumb old son do? I went up with a stick and went, bam, right on that slide. Because I wanted to hear how loud it sounded when a stick hit it. My dad said, son, if you do that again, you're going to find out what that stick feels like across your backside. What did I do? Well, you're in trouble. Man, I never seen my dad come across that yard so fast in my life. I mean, he was faster than a John Deere tractor. I mean, he grabbed a hold of me, and I'm telling you right now, man, we had a new piece of equipment on the property for around. It was called merry-go-round, I was going merry-go-round the mulberry bush there. Man, my dad wore me out. I got in trouble. Yes, you all have ever been in trouble? I mean, we all could tell some wonderful stories about the trouble we've been in, right? Well, let's tell you about one more troubling thing today. We found the troubled heart. We see as well the troubled thoughts. But I'd also like us to look at one more troubled section. And that is troubled persecution. Troubled persecution. Over in 1 Peter... I thought I had all of this typed out, but it looks like I didn't, probably because I wanted to turn with you. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 14. We find the Apostle Peter, he writes and he says in verse number 14, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So to the one who's being persecuted, if you feel like you're being persecuted in your walk for the Lord, my friend, Jesus has a couple things to say about that. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we find the psalmist writes as well many times throughout the 30s, the 40s, and 50s section there, as well as many other sections of the Psalms about him being persecuted. But the Lord is his rock. The Lord is his fortress. The Lord is his stay. If you're persecuted today, know this, that it's not a foreign thing. It's happened to Christians for many, many years. Peter had a group there that he was working with. He had a letter he needed to write as well to Christian Jews, and he wrote that message there in regards to suffering for righteousness' sake. When you suffer for the Lord, don't be discouraged in it. Let it be a reminder of that cross which Jesus had to bear. Because Jesus didn't say, "Pick up your roses and follow me." He said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Jesus didn't stop, though, with "blessed are they which are persecuted." He also said, in a more of a personal, pointed note to the one who is persecuted, he says, "Blessed are ye," or "blessed are you are blessed, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." How in the world did Jesus know that that would happen to us, in the day we live? How did Jesus know that? Because Jesus is God. And He knows we're going to face some persecution in this life. You ever been out there, you've talked to, you know, and you run across somebody and you think that that's the person that God says you need to share the gospel with, and they're gonna say yes to that, and they're gonna come to church with you, you know, and they're gonna get baptized as well, and they're gonna look you in the face and say, thank you so much for sharing Jesus with me. I'm surrendering to the mission field, you know, and they go up to the mission field, man, and it's just like, I just led them to the Lord, that's all I did. You know, you're looking for that kind of person, right? And so you think that's the person right there. And man, you tell them about the Lord and you're expecting a good return. And they say, that's not for me. But since you told me some things, I've got some things myself I want to tell you. Oh boy. Hell, how the tables have turned. Trouble is in the midst, right? It happens every now and then. It does. It happens. If you're going to tell people about the Lord, be prepared. Persecution or cruel words will come your way. But they're not persecuting you. They're persecuting the one to whom gave his life for all of humanity. You're just the vessel by which they say, I can lay it all out on you. I can take out my problems on you. I can tell you how I feel. I can tell you what's wrong. And I can tell you exactly where it needs to go. And by the way, you're the one who's going to hear it. There are people out there in this world that are just like that. You might have family members that are like that today, that you've been praying for their salvation. And every time that you believe the Lord lays on your heart to talk to them, man, they shut you down. And they don't just shut you down, they like slam you down. It gets tough. Sometimes you just want to quit and say, no more for me. I don't know if we could be able to actually do the same steps that Jesus did and still be able to go all the way up to Golgotha's hill. I don't think that we'd be able to even make it halfway before many of us, if not all of us, would say, this isn't for me. I'm walking away. There's a lot of Christians or so-called Christians in this world that when the persecution starts, they say, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. And they walk away. If you're being troubled in that area today, remember that they're not persecuting you. They're persecuting the one to whom you worship and adore. To the one who is persecuting, Isaiah 57, 20 through 21 has something to say to them. It says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Understand this, if you think that their persecution is troubling you, understand this, that Christian, if you think your mind is troubled or your heart is troubled, understand this, that for the lost soul in this world, they are troubled like a raging sea. And they cannot find any rest. They're searching for rest. And they're trying to find it in any other sea except the Word of God. But I want to also ask you today, if you are the one who is persecuting other believers, I've seen this. If you're the one persecuting other Christians, Jesus is telling you today, you need to repent. Peace, be still. But I'm not persecuting anyone, you might say. I want to ask a couple questions. Do you ever slander fellow believers? Do you ever say, well, man, the way that they just share the gospel, that's so wrong. You know, the fact that they're not even sharing the gospel, who do they think they are? I mean, do they really think they're a Christian? There's a lot of words that could be said in slander. And not a one would say, well, I'm actually slandering. They would just say, well, it's just my heart. I'm just speaking what's on my heart. I listen to people for hours on end, nonstop, hours on end, slander fellow believers, throwing them under the bus. I mean, just ripping everything that Christian has done and just ripping it to shreds. And how worthless of a person that Christian must be. Does your idle mind ever think of ways around the vision that God has cast on fellow believers? Well, I think there's an easier way for you to do it. And it needs to be this way. You know, Job's friends thought that they had a better way or an easier way for Job to, you know, become righteous in the eyes of God again. But Eliphaz found out really quickly that he was the guy who was wrong for slandering Job the way that he did. Do you look for ways to question the believer's integrity before other people? You know, there's times where we do think about other believers. There's other times where we think about other people and we don't, you know, we're just thinking about them. And you start to think in your mind about their integrity or calling things into question. If you're calling those things into question around other believers, it's not a good thing. It is a form of persecution. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus states this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There are many ways of which trouble can be found. For yourself today, it could be your heart that's being troubled. It could be your very thoughts that are being troubled. It could be the fact that you're facing some type of persecution in which you're being troubled. Jesus loves you. If you're serving Him, Jesus has got your back. No, Jesus doesn't just have your back. Jesus is in front of the fight too. Psalm 31, verses 23 through 24. "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Where is your hope today? If you are facing trouble, I would encourage you to stop looking other places and start looking at the Word of God. I have you as well, not only stop asking other people about how to heal the troubled place in your life, instead ask God for healing in that trouble of what you're facing. However you're being challenged today, God can take care of your troubles. If you're lost and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are like a ship in a troubled sea. And eventually you're going to strike the rocks. You need to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you right now, the trouble that you have, you will find peace in its place. Jesus said to the winds, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and the waves became calm. Jesus can do that for you today too. And if you're a born-again believer and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are being troubled today. Jesus wants to calm the storm in your life. During this invitation, you have an opportunity to come forward and take care of that matter. If you're physically unable to do so, you can make the place right where you are today a place of prayer between you and God. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to grab a hold of one of us men in here, or if you're a lady and you need to talk to another lady in here, we'll partner you up with someone who can tell you, who can show you from God's Word how you can know Christ as Savior. Peace. That's what we need today. So we have this invitation. Will you respond?
just as I am, though tossed about. That's trouble, my friend, with many a conflict and many a fightings within, fears without. You need to go to the Lamb of God. You need to go to Jesus today. Hey, it's been a great day in the house of the Lord. I pray that each and every single one of you have something there that's spoken to you today, and you're leaving here today with a smile. You're leaving here today with a little bit more of a lightness in your step. You're leaving here today with the joy of the Lord. I mean, it's good to